From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois. In agricultural news, water levels on the Mississippi River are expected to be so low that most tugboats will not be able to pass later this month. And Hormel is buying a peanut butter brand. The company is looking to expand overseas and broaden its offerings. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Hey, at the end of the half hour, don't forget that meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
On a Thursday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March contract for the soft red winter wheat closed at 7.55 and a half, up a quarter. The July, or the harvest month, to close at $7.69 and a half at 2 o'clock Central Time, down 3 and a half cents. Settlement prices are not yet in. The hard red in Kansas City does have a settlement price at 8.27 and a quarter, down 20 and a quarter. Back in Chicago, on a close, the corn pit March contract 6.92 and a half, a penny and 3 quarters higher. May futures at 6.89 and a half, down 4 cents. July at 6.85, down 5 and 3 quarters. September corn 6 cents lower, $6.09 and a half, and December futures at 5.86, down 6 1/4 a bushel. Next year's March with the 2014 contract, a nickel lower at $5.97. Settlement prices are available for the soybean pit. January contract at $14.03, down 2 1/2. The March at 13.86 and a half, down 5 3/4. And May soybeans at 13.78 and a quarter, down 6 cents. July futures 13.76 and a half, 5 1/2 lower. The August 13.56 and a quarter, down 4 1/4. And in November, beans at $12.91 and 3/4 for the new crop, down 2 1/4 for the day. Bean meal at 405.60, down $1.50, and bean oil at 50.21 in the January contract, down 31. Live cattle futures finished the February at 133.85, up $1.47 and a half. The April's at 137.32 and a half on a settlement, $1.15 higher. January feeders at 152.35 were up 115, and the March feeder cattle at 154.90 were a dollar higher. February lean hogs for the day, $86.40, up 22 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures February contract $92.82 a barrel, 30 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline in the February at 279 and 3 tenths, that's a penny and 9 tenths lower for the day, and ethanol trading unchanged at 217 and 9 tenths. The RBOB gasoline to ethanol spread is just about 61 and a half cents. That's a tenth of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.19 and 8 tenths of a cent is 3 and a half cents lower for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 2 3/10 at $3.02 and 2 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures on the afternoon, $14.20 lower at $1,674.60 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 80.38, that's up 0.54. Hey, have you registered yet for our January Voices of Illinois Agriculture event? That comes up on the 25th day of the month, not too far away. And you have until the 16th to get yourself registered for that. We're planning to have an evening event after Commodity Week. We'll head south from Campbell Hall here, where the radio station for the home station is located, to Bevere Hall on the Ag Campus and the Spice Box, where the hospitality management students will serve a fantastic meal that starts with State Fair Champion Barrel Hors d'oeuvres. It should be a really good evening. Orion Samuelson will be along for the evening. And when you register, you'll sign up for a copy of his book, and he'll be there to sign it that night. So you can do that online at our website, willag.org, willag.org. Just scroll about halfway down the page and hit calendar, and then look for the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. You'll find all of our upcoming events, there are a whole bunch of them in the months of January, February, and March, there at willag.org in the calendar. In just a few moments, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's the third day of January, a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker joins us by phone from Mandeville, Louisiana, and CGP Enterprises to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Did your new year go well?
Everything went quite well.
Better than the marketplace is going?
Yeah.
So what's happening in the marketplace? Why the downturn?
Well, I think we still have liquidation probably going on in the soybean complex, because what we're getting here is some sales cancellations, and I think the trade's probably taking that a little more bearish than probably what it is. I think what it is more of a bookkeeping cleaning up for the year type situation, is where, you know, maybe China would go to XYZ export company and say, I want to buy a million tons of beans over the next several months, and maybe they only got, in this case, 700,000 purchased, and to get things kind of cleared up between now, you know, at the calendar year, they just said, well, we'll just cancel those and we'll start all over again, you know, after January 1. So I think a lot of this cancellation that we've seen in soybeans over the past couple of weeks have been just maybe cleaning up the books, balancing the books at year end. My guess is that we've seen the end of that now, since we are into the new year. But that has kind of been a bearish influence in soybeans, and that's created some liquidation. We've seen some declines in open interest. The other thing is that things in South America do seem to be looking pretty good, but South America is really not going to have a lot of inventory to move into the world channels, and logistics say that they will only be able to probably fulfill 3 million tons of China's 5 million ton a month appetite. So we're still going to have some business even if we go on into the spring months. So, but, you know, it's going to be disappointing compared to what we've been kind of grown accustomed to here this fall months, with a lot of big sales numbers. Corn, on the other hand, you can't hardly give away a bushel of corn. Sales are running way low. There is some hope, maybe, if you talk to a few export traders, that demand could come forward here. But at least nothing's really showed up short term. And actually, we're starting to see a rise in open interest in corn, which is a bearish signal. It kind of indicates to me that maybe the supplies may be greater out there than what the marketplace thinks, and or demand is much more weaker than what the marketplace thinks. So that's really not a good sign to see declining market, the increasing open interest, at least to start the new year. The thing that I've talked about for some time, and I think you can really see it if you take a look at December corn and November soybeans, if you would use that ratio, you can see that soybeans have really gained on corn over the past couple months. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where I think I have to look at it here if I can find it. Probably can't find it. But soybeans, new crop 13, December corn, new crop November soybeans were like 2-1. Now it's creeped up to 2.2-1. So soybeans are gaining on corn. And I think a lot of that has to go along with ideas that farmers are going to plant a lot of corn. With Informa Economics, you know, their latest estimate at 99 million. Maybe what the market is telling us this year is that we won't need to rally during the crop insurance period to insure a large acres, that the acres are going to be large enough to take care of demand as we go forward. And if you go back and correlate this 12-13 crop year with what we saw in 1983-84, price action is pretty well mirroring that type, what happened in 83, 84, and that would suggest that maybe these markets may not get anything going on the upside until after we find a winter low sometime during the month of February.
How far down was that for that period? By percentage, of course.
I can't really tell you on percentage. Let me take a look here. I might be able to pop it up here.
Mm-hmm.
This was a percentage as of July 1. Basically, from July 1 prices, Dease corn declined basically 12%.
From 83 to 84 to the low in February 84.
Yes. And on July 1 of this year, so far we are basically just, we're down like 4%.
That's a long haul.
So we got ways to go. I mean, we could lose another 8%, possibly if you'd want to match what we did in 83.
Right.
So 8% of what are we talking about here? $5 and
you don't want to do 8%. That'd be 40 cents, but you don't want to do 8% of $5, right?
Well, the market could very easily do that.
$8% of $8, don't you?
Well, we would do 8% of what new crop corn is trading at. And new crop corn today is what? 5?
87.5.
Okay, 8% of that would be 50 cents.
Yeah.
Well, you could
45.
You could go down that low.
All right. So down here now you're down at 550, 540, something like that.
Which I think is very attainable. What that may do is reduce overall planted acres because the insurance guarantee won't be quite as attractive maybe for bankers to loan money on. So
but this is what you told us when you gave us a 100 million figure a while back, said that it was just overpriced. The corn might be overpriced and it might turn lower.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're on track for where you are.
Which is not really good news. But
I understand
the only thing that I think everybody needs to realize, and I think for those longtime listeners of WILLL, and I notice you've been throwing up some of those old pictures on the Facebook page. I hope you don't show any of me up there someday.
Yeah, that one was from a lump, man. That was about 40 pounds ago for me.
Yeah, I was going to say. But, you know, the markets have a very strong tendency of going much higher than what everybody thinks in a bull market and goes much lower than what everybody thinks in a bear market. And 13, I think, is a bear market. Sunspot activity is on the uptick, and I think it'll the visuals, when you look at visuals right now, it's very hard to visualize anything but increasing supplies, and when we're increasing supplies, prices grind lower. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to go lower every day, but I do think it means that producers need to take opportunities when big rallies come along to kind of decide on how they want to approach the marketing season.
Dan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Very well.
All right. Actually, we'll talk to you at Commodity Week. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Will be our guest on Commodity Week panelist, along with Matt Bennett, who we'll hear a bit later in the program, Kurt Kimmel, and Roy Huckabee will be our special guest on that program. We'll record at 4:30 on Friday afternoon this week, and it'll be up on our website by about 6 o'clock. That evening.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, water levels on the Mississippi River are now expected to become too low for most towboats to pass early this month. The river level near Thebes, Illinois, is projected to fall to 8 feet between January 5th and 15th, effectively shutting down river traffic because most tugboats need at least 9 feet of water to operate. According to a study released yesterday by the Waterways Council Incorporated and the American Waterways Operators, there are 8,000 jobs and $54 million in wages and benefits on the line, in addition to lost shipping traffic estimated at $2.8 billion in January alone. A river conditions report released by a large shipping group notes that the upper Mississippi and Midwest need ongoing rains to fix the water level problem in the long term. Hormel Foods is buying the Skippy peanut butter product line from Unilever for approximately $700 million as it looks to strengthen its business overseas and branch out beyond its meat business. Skippy, which debuted in 1932, has 11 varieties of peanut butter products. It is the leading brand in China and is sold in more than 30 other countries. Total annual sales are expected to be about $370 million, with almost $100 million of that from outside the U.S. The transaction still needs regulatory approval in the U.S. and other jurisdictions. The Institute for Supply Management yesterday said that its index of manufacturing activity rose to 50.7 in December from 49.5 in the previous month. November's reading was the lowest reading since July of 2009, 1 month after the recession ended. A reading above 50 signals expansion. Safeway's CEO Steve Bird will retire in May after more than 20 years with the grocer. Safeway, based in Pleasanton, California, runs 1,644 grocery stores in the U.S. and Western Canada. And this morning, private exporters reported to USDA the cancellation of export sales of 315,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. The 2012-13 marketing year for soybeans began on September 1st. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report. Commodity Week next week and the following week's Corn and Soybean Classic Series. You can visit our website at willag.org and hit the calendar button to see where I'll be in on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, and then the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just so you know, we'll be here in Champaign Monday, Mount Vernon on Tuesday, and in Springfield on Wednesday of next week. And then the following week, we're off to Peoria and up in Malta and over in Moline, but I'm not quite certain that's the right order of them. You can find it all at our website at willag.org. Hit calendar and look for Corn and Soybean Classics. Also, while you're there, make sure you check out the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event that's scheduled for the 25th day of January. Orion Samuelson will be our very special guest that evening. It's a Friday night, 6 o'clock, right here on campus in Bevere Hall at the Spice Box. The folks that are in the hospitality management program will be serving us a very, very special meal that starts off with hors d'oeuvres from the pork from the Illinois State Fair Barrel Champion. Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson and Jackie Vakes and I bought that pork earlier in the year, and we'd like to share it with you. We'll have a really good meal as well. It's about just sitting down together and talking and having fun for an evening with our friends and raising a little bit of money for the Hospitality Management Program and the Agricultural Communications Programs right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. I hope you register today. You can do that on our website, again, willag.org. Roll halfway down the page and hit calendar. And then in this case, look for Voices of Illinois Agriculture.
Hey. agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Todd?
I'm looking forward to having you in for Commodity Week this week. We'll have Zwicker on the phone line, and Kurt Kimmel will be here, and Roy Huckabee on the phone line from Chicago as well. Should be a really good show. I suspect we'll have plenty to talk about. There's all kinds of things that are happening in the cash grain market. There's movement that's unusual, the Mississippi River. What is it that you're seeing most of interest?
Well, we're definitely seeing some people hollering for beans a little bit more than what we've seen in a while. Basis has definitely picked up pretty good. You know, we're bidding 10 over on beans, you know, on the nearby. And so, you know, there's no question that people are hunting down beans right now. I'm not seeing a whole lot of that on corn, relatively speaking. But, you know, basis for this time of year is awful good.
And basis, and it is a local sort of thing, because when we talked, of course, yesterday with the folks at the Andersons in Logansport, they were the flip. They were opposite. They were hunting for corn for the ethanol plant, and the processors for beans were well, they weren't really in that much of a need, I don't think. So.
Right, and I think it's all going to come back to, you know, the quality issue as well. I think the basis is going to be awfully hot on quality corn moving forward. In this part of the country, I mean, you know, there's going to be some corn here and there that's going to struggle to get through. You know, you've heard guys that are going to places that are getting tested, and there'll be 15 parts, and the next time they're 120. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all works its way through the system.
Yeah, just so we're clear, this part of the country for our listeners is south of Champaign.
Yes.
About an hour, hour and a half. Not quite that far, probably, but in that range. So you're in the top end of the southern part of the state, or the bottom
yep.
or the bottom end of the two thirds of the top of the state, whichever one you want to put it at. But you're down in an area that had a much tougher problem with a tough corn crop, right in the middle of the drought-stricken area, heaviest drought-stricken area of the United States.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, several of our facilities had some aflatoxin issues, but for the most part, we've done fairly well as far as moving it out. You know, we haven't seen, like, the massive growth, I guess, in the parts per billion that people were talking about earlier. So we feel pretty confident we're going to be able to get rid of all of it. But, you know, it might just take a little bit more time and effort than usual.
So for the corn, the livestock producers are willing to take much of this corn simply because they can feed it, really?
Yeah. Actually, we've had several people hunting it down, and we've sold more just to straight out livestock producers this year probably than what we have in some time. And, you know, a lot of them are taking up to 300, and a lot of them are taking up to 200. And so, you know, that gives you an ability to get rid of quite a bit of corn. We haven't really had anything out of our system that's tested really up in those levels, let alone higher.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn would be $6.94, and then fall 13, $5.63. Cash beans would be $14. Fall 13 would be $12.58.
One quick question, 30 seconds left. Put your farmer cap on. You're going to make new crop sales or old crop sales now?
I think clean up old crop sales, and as far as new crop, I don't have a problem with moving forward with sales by any means, because I think there's probably a fair amount of downside if everything works against us.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
It's National Ice Cream Box Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1838, Cleveland Abbey was born. A U.S. astronomer and meteorologist, he is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Service was authorized by Congress on February 9, 1870, and Abbey joined the following January, bringing skills as the only person in the country with experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and forecasting from them. In 1842, Ellen Swallow Richards was born. An American chemist, she was one of the founders of the home economics movement in the U.S. In 1910, George Claude first demonstrated his new invention, the neon light, at the Paris Motor Show. And in 1984, the world's worst industrial disaster occurred in Bhopal, India. Over 40 tons of poisonous gas leaked out of a Union Carbine pesticide factory. About 3,800 were killed, and over 300,000 people suffered acute respiratory problems, burning eyes and vomiting. An independent investigation showed a strong possibility of employee sabotage as a cause of the disaster, although it has never been proved. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Pete Belevitt, agricultural meteorologist, is on the phone line to look at the weather forecast with us. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Tom.
And, well, tell me about the Midwest first, and then we'll traipse around the world and see how the growing regions are doing.
Okay, well, first for the Midwest, we have a rather benign period as far as storm systems are concerned. There are no major storms anywhere across the country, just a few areas of showers in the south. And the South Atlantic states have some showers. But for the most part, the weather is dry. There's pretty fair snow cover down through the northern half of the country, especially the western half of the country. So it's a pretty normal-looking day with temperatures forecast for the next week to average pretty close to normal during the period. Starting to start out a little bit on the cold side. We still have a little cold air lingering over the Midwest. Then the disturbance moves along to the east and north of us. Later in the toward the weekend, we get warmed up to about normal. Then the first evidence we see of some shower activity comes around late next Wednesday or Thursday, when we could get some precipitation, which, by the way, is much needed in the area. We're still looking at drier than normal conditions. River levels are pretty low in parts of the Mississippi, where low enough to interdict barge travel, and that's a potential problem. So we still have drought as the problem. No weather to speak of for this week except for these showers later in the week.
And then turn your attention to South America.
Well, South America, we've seen some pretty good rains at this time of year now. They've got some beneficial rain continued in most of Brazil and the main soybean areas of southern and central Brazil as the crop in late stages of development or in toward harvest time. The Argentine, they've also had some lingering rain with field work slowed a little bit in southern areas, but the rain isn't excessive. And it's always good to get moisture in the bank down there. In Australia and other areas where showers benefited summer crops in the east, hot and dry weather in the west came too late to affect crops much. As a matter of fact, they're beneficial because it's aiding in harvesting the winter wheat crops. So the weather's pretty good when we look around the globe on this.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
That is Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Hey, please do visit our website at willag.org. If you scroll about halfway down the page, you'll find a link to a couple of things over on the right-hand side, a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That's a free one. It's a really good one. Dave pins it on Friday afternoons. If you haven't seen it, subscribe there. It's really easy to do so. And then if you don't like it, just about as easy to unsubscribe. So pick that one up if you want, and also hit the calendar tab. There you'll find all of the events we'll be out and about doing over the next several days and months. I'll be on the road next week with the Corn and Soybean Classic. The Voices of Illinois Agriculture event is coming up on the 25th of January. Our All Day Ag Outlook is March the 5th, and there's a whole bunch of things in between. We'd sure like to have you at all of them.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois. dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships